It is good to be back with you today, and I just want to say from the bottom and the top of my heart how grateful Emily and the boys and I am for your love and support, your prayers during the time that I was away, for all the beautiful cards that were sent to us, and for all the food. I gained 12 pounds in 2 weeks eating the food that you guys brought, and I'm so thankful for it. It was truly a blessing, and so grateful to be back with you today. Each of you have what I'm calling a going all in engagement card. Everybody grab yours. It was in your seat when you got it. Hold it up. Let me see it. Everybody. We won't move forward until I see everyone's card. Okay. I don't see. Hold it up. Hold it up. Okay. Everybody's waving. Okay, good. All right. So go ahead and take that. There's a pen somewhere in your seating area. There's one pen in each seating area. And put your name on that. And I'll tell you what to do with that at the end of our service today. Each week for the next 7 weeks, we will have some form of engagement that we want to do. And it'll look something like this. So want to have that available. As many of you know, we are starting a new series today. You heard that announced. It's called Going All In. And I hope to, we're using a book, but the real curriculum, what we're really using here is the book of John. And so I want you to really study through the book of John. You can listen to it. If you don't read, you can download the Bible app and listen. You can also download the book by Dan Grider that we're talking about. It's kind of broken up into daily sections where you can have almost a daily devotional and read it each week. And so what I plan to do today is kind of set up the series and talk about why we're doing it. And then next week we'll start section one. So this is kind of like the introduction to what we're going to be doing. But I believe if we engage today, it can still be a very powerful time. And even if you're not in a small group and you're not reading the book, I hope that you will indeed engage with what we're doing for the next several weeks. I believe it can be life-changing, not only to us as individuals, but also to our church and life-giving to our community. Several years ago, maybe around five now, it occurred to me that I'd been preaching for about 7 years at that point, and I'd done everything that they had told me to do, they being the church, my church leaders, family, everything like that, and what it means to be in ministry and called into ministry. And when I was called into ministry, this is all I knew. I knew that I wanted to see God do in others what He was doing in me. Because it was so life-giving. It was so life-changing. I felt that call upon my life to see Him do in others what He's doing in me. And I thought that was a special thing. It turns out that that's actually the Lord's call in all of our lives, is to desire that and to want that and to be His witnesses and testify of Him. But I also wanted to help the local church. And so those were the two aspects of my calling. And so I lived that out. But about 5 years ago, I realized, we're not really reaching a lot of new people. I'm not really reaching a lot of new people. I'm not really leading a lot of people to Jesus and sharing my testimony and what He's doing in my life with them. I'm preparing messages, I'm preaching, and certainly this is a part of God working out my particular assignment, my call. But I don't see a lot of the fruit that He talks about. He says the fields are white with harvest. Pray for laborers. And I'm like, I'm a laborer, here I am, send me. And I've given my life to it, but I don't see it. And our churches aren't growing, and we're not reaching new people, and we're not seeing lost people baptized. And so why is that? Why is it that we don't see the fruit of the Spirit working out of us into others? I see the fruit of the Spirit working in me to change me in some ways, but in some ways I won't let Him change me. In some ways I've kind of held Him off at arm's length. In some ways, I would rather stand up and preach like this to one way than have a conversation about what God's doing in my life and what He's doing in yours and let's respond to that. And so what we're trying to do throughout this series is to help us understand and see and experience how Jesus is working in our lives so that we can be all in with Him. And that's the main point today. The main point today is this. It is that Jesus went all in for me so I can go all in with Him. That's what we just sang about. That's what we sing about, that He's our firm foundation, that He is the one. And that He went all in. He died on the cross for us. And He did that so that we could be with Him. And we're not just going to be with Him one day in heaven. We're not just sitting back and waiting, like doing religious stuff until He comes back and proving our devotion. No. We're to live with Him now, in the present. He's with us now. He tells us, in Matthew, that He'll never leave us. Even to the end of the age, He will always be with us. And we know that's true through the power of His Holy Spirit. And so Jesus went all in for us. He died on a cross for us. He rose again. He's at the right side of the Father. He sends the Holy Spirit so that then those of us whom the Father's called, those of us who believe in Him, and we're going to define what that means. But for those of us who believe in Him, we can live with Him in His presence daily. In a relationship, walking, knowing, seeing Him working, seeing Him change our lives. And I believe that's what we all want. Jesus actually kind of defined going all in. And He did that when they asked Him what the greatest commandment was. They said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So you notice there's three parts there. There's three parts in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. One of the other gospel writers adds strength. And what we're talking about here is this word believe. What's it mean to believe in Jesus? What's it really mean to believe in Him? The word believe or some derivative of believe is used over 250 times in the New Testament. Many of them are in the Gospel of John. And that's why we're going through John. Because John reveals seven signs about Jesus that compels us to go all in for Jesus. And I believe that going all in for Jesus starts right here. It starts not only with our heart, but also with our soul. That's our life. That means your life. That's not your spirit that lives on after you're gone. And there's great debate over that. Let's not get into that debate. But your soul represents your life. What makes you different than the chair? And so your soul is your life. It's your lifestyle. It's how you live. It's the things that you do. It makes up your actions, your behaviors. And that comes to us when there's the repentance of life. And part of believing in Christ is repenting of sin. And so you'll see here that we're to love the Lord God with all of our heart. The heart is the emotions. And many of us get very emotional. I know people that come to church, they get very emotional. I was just emotional singing. I mean, how could you not be? It's like I'm looking around, where are the Kleenex, right? I was like, well, there used to be everywhere. Maybe we can't because of COVID. I don't know. But it's like with all your heart, that's your emotions. But you know, sometimes I believe with all my heart while I'm here singing songs, but sometimes my emotions get the best of me and I'm mean to people. Sometimes I lash out and say things that I shouldn't be emotional responses. And so, am I loving the Lord with all of my emotions, all of my heart? Because that's what He says, doesn't it? With all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your life, your lifestyle. This is the command. And with all of your mind. He repeats it, all of my mind. This is our intellect. Our mind is our intellect. It's what we think about. It's the terms in which we process. It's the getting smarter part. It's the biblical knowledge part. It is the surrendering of our thoughts to the thoughts of Christ. Rather than thinking about negative things, thinking about positive things. Rather than trying to learn all the world has to offer, learn what the Scriptures say. And a lot of times what we believe at least in my life and what I think I've witnessed, and one of the reasons why maybe we're not seeing people come to Christ and we're not out there living that joyful life that we sing about and we read about in scriptures and we even see on other people's faces, you know, that kind of, they're on fire for Christ. They've gone all in. It's because maybe it's all right here in the mind. Their Christianity has become an intellectual exercise where they learn more. And listen, systematic Bible study, consistent, systematic Bible study, individually and in groups, is essential for a victorious Christian life. It's essential. And whether you can read it and study it yourself, or whether or not you're discussing it and getting it in and studying it, it is essential, and it needs to be regular, and it needs to be systematic. But for many of us, that's kind of where it stopped. We haven't let Him change our emotions too much outside of church settings. We've not let Him change our heart. We still love the world and the things of the world. Like, don't you? It's like, I still love the things of the world. I still, many times, I want the things of the world more than I want the Lord Himself. And He went all in for me so I can go all in with Him. He went all in for you so that you can go all in with Him. And we need to remember, this wasn't the only commandment He spoke that day. He spoke the second greatest commandment. And He said this, to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Like everything in the Old Testament is just summed up in 2 or 3 verses. Isn't that pretty amazing? Everything that Jesus asks of us, His whole life demonstrated those two commandments. To love His Father with everything that He had. To go all in for the Father. And it wasn't easy, if you'll remember, towards the end of His life, before He was arrested, He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He said, Father, if there's any way that this cup of death and just torture can be passed from me, if there's any way that this separation from You for this moment on the cross can pass from me, Will you let it pass from me? But then He said, nevertheless, I'm all in. Not my will, but Your will be done. And that's what He did. And then He did all of that, and His whole life was to demonstrate the Father, but then He did it in such a way as He loved us in the process. To care about people. To love people. And it wasn't just the church people. As a matter of fact, the church people got mad at Him because He loved the sinners too much. He spent more time with them than He did the church people today. It was the temple people. There was no church yet. But He spent more time loving lost people. More time caring about those who were struggling in their life. More time worried about those who needed a healing. Those who needed sympathy. Those who needed compassion. More time about worrying about those who were far from God than He did those who were allegedly close to God. He did that because He loved us. He loves us. And John tells us that. One of the major themes throughout John is believe, love, light, and darkness. That's what he talks about. One of Jesus' best friends, John, wrote this book. And he tells us why he wrote it. And it's in John chapter 20. This is what he says. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Let's go back to that. Let's go back to that last slide. He says that these things were written that you may believe. And that by believing, it's like through believing. Like, what's the result of believing? Well, what is that? What is the result of believing? The result of believing is this life in His name. This is life now and life later. Eternity for you, everlasting life for you, starts when you believe, and that belief works in your life. to change you. But there's specific belief here. And I don't want us to miss this. Believe that Jesus is the Messiah. What's Messiah mean? We sometimes translate it Christ. Jesus Christ. It's not His name. Jesus Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the long-awaited King that God promised back in Genesis chapter 3 that would crush the head of Satan. He is the one that was promised that after David, a king would come whose kingdom would last forever. So to believe means that Jesus is the King. And our whole world right now is looking for a king. We're in the middle of an election over a king. We call him a president. Our whole government, every government around the world, it's not just America. They're looking for a king. They're looking for a good king. It's not going to take advantage. But a long time ago, God called a people out, and He told that people He would be their king. And you know what the people said? No. Give us a king that's a man like everyone else. Give us a king. We want a king like all the other kings, all the other nations. And we rejected God's kingship there. As a nation, Israel rejected Him. But we've all rejected His kingship. He was rejected in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He's rejected with the nation of Israel. And then He comes and He dies and He says, now I'm the king. He doesn't set up an earthly dominion yet. He sets up a spiritual kingship. And in this spiritual kingship, we are working in this earth to represent Him. And that's what we're talking about. So we're going to go to John chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 18. And here we go. John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. People say, the Scripture never says that Jesus is God. Well, we're making a case for Him right now. It is. That word, the word for word means it's a logos. In Greek, it's used many times. But the word of God. Now, remember what I said about systematic regular Bible study. It is essential. Whether you're reading it, hearing it, discussing it with other people, it's essential. But oftentimes, we spend more time here than we do with the Word here. And this is about relationship. And so, the second verse says that He was God in the beginning. This Word that we're talking about, this Word, and it says that through Him, everything was made, has been made. Can we see that? Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. And then it says in verse 14, you skip down, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen His glory. The glory is the one and only Son who come from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we know that to be Jesus. Actually says so down in verse 17 that we'll get to in a moment. But what does this mean? This means, and this is our first point today, is that my Creator is Jesus, so I must go all in with Him. My Creator is Jesus, I must go all in with Him. Think about it. He created me. And I rebelled against Him. I mean, that song about trembling, it says, were you there? Yes. I was there. And sometimes I'm there every day because my sin is what nailed Him to that tree. My sin is what crucified Him and laid Him in that tomb. And yours. But He rose up victorious. He rose up victorious. And He is the Creator, so the Creator loves me enough to care about me, and to create you, and to create you in His image, and to make you like Him. That's one of the lies. We'll get to that in a moment. One of the lies of Satan was that, hey, you can be like God. Well, they already were. They were made in His image. They were given dominion over everything in the earth. The only thing they couldn't touch was this one tree. And they could have touched it. They just couldn't eat from it. Jesus is my creator. I must go all in with him. At one point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus asked a serious question. I think about this all the time. Here's the question. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. And then he goes on to talk about the two houses that were built upon the foundation. One built upon a firm foundation that withstood the storms of life, and one that was not built on a firm foundation that crashed apart when the storms of life came. One house that stood, one house that failed. We sang about it. The firm foundation we sang about this morning. And we didn't plan that, by the way. That's the Lord working it out. Why do you call me? And here's the deal. I have to ask myself a question. This is for me and this is for you. Here's the question. And that is, am I all in or am I holding back? Are you all in or are you holding back? Write it down. Am I all in? And listen, what we're talking about here, this is very important. I want you to hear me here. Because sometimes I have this conversation, I guess it's my communication style or whatever it happens to be. People like are a little defensive. They're like, "Hey man, lighten up." So I want you to know here, we're not talking about perfection, but we're talking about direction. Is the direction of my life becoming more and more all into Jesus, or the direction of my life becoming more and more all into the world? Don talked about last week the runner who ran, and he made this famous quote, that, and the quote was, do I leave people who I encounter, and I'm paraphrasing it, when I leave them, do I leave them closer to Christ, or I will either leave them closer to Christ or I'll leave them further from Him? Remember that? And so we're talking about direction. Is the direction of my life, the trajectory of my life towards Christ or truly towards the world? And that's my all-in life, not just my religious life. It's not just the hour or two we spend at church on Sundays, and next year it'll be Wednesdays again. And listen to this. It's not about information, but it's about transformation. It's not about information, but transformation. You can know a lot about Scripture and not be all in for the Lord. Are you being transformed to become more like Jesus? And that's the last one. I want you just to see this. It's not about doing more, but about being more like Jesus. Being more. Because a lot of times what we want to do is we want to prove our all-inness by what we do. And so we go do more. We'll sign up at church and we'll be a part of every ministry at church. We may even surrender into ministry and go into ministry just so we can do more and prove our all-inness. But Jesus comes in one time and he says, "Listen, many's going to come to me in that day and say, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we do all of these things in your name?'" Even in his name. He's going to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." So this is not about doing more things in his name. It's about becoming, allowing him to transform us, becoming more and more like him in every single way, in our hearts, our soul, with our lifestyle, and with our minds. And that's what I want. And so we're going to see this principle here. My motivation for going all in with Jesus is that he created me and knows what is best for me. He knows what is best for you. If you believe he's your creator in some form or fashion, if you believe that he was responsible for you being on this planet, he knows what's best for you. And oftentimes when I find myself headed in the trajectory of the world, it's when I don't believe that he knows what's best for me and I think that I still know what's best for me. Y'all ever understand? You know, does that make sense? When I say, "Lord, I don't believe that's the best. Look at all of this over here." But he says, "Hey, I've seen the end. It's not going to end too well over there. I know what's best for you." And so he calls us to himself. And moving on, in John chapter 1, back in 1, 4 through 8, it says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. He shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The next verse. "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." Next verse. "There was a man sent whose name was John." That's John the Baptist. Next verse. And John says this. He says, "He came as a witness to testify to the light." Concerning that light. He came to testify about it, to tell others about it, concerning it, so that through him everyone may believe. So John had a purpose. And the next verse, in verse 8, says this. "He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light." And sometimes, if you're like me, you live your life as you are the light. It's about me. I'm the light. It's about me. It's about my fame. It's about my happiness. It's about my pleasure. It's about my plans. It's about my future. It's about me. And we testify about ourselves, and we're working for ourselves, and we're trying to achieve, and we're trying to get all this world has to offer. I even teach it to my kids. It's so confusing. If you don't do good in school, you're going to make bad grades. If you don't make good grades, you're probably not going to get a very good job. If you don't get a good job, you're not going to be able to take care of yourself. And then I'm like, am I teaching them to go all into the world? Am I teaching them it's okay, whatever they do, whatever their hand finds to do, do it as unto the Lord? Doesn't matter what it is. And trust the Lord to take care of them. And it's just so, it's a difficult thing to grasp. But just like John, we are not the light. We come to give a witness to testify about the light. John was pointing to Jesus in person. Here he comes. We're pointing to him where he was on the cross, but also where he is in our life. Here he is too. And people say, "Well, why are you act that way? Why did you forgive me? Why aren't you blowing up? What's going on in your life? Why something seems different?" Well, let me tell you about this light. This light that shined into my darkness. The darkness of my heart that was greedy, that was selfish, that was dirty, that was prideful, that was arrogant, that was eager to get rich, just worried about how people thought about him. Into that darkness. And so just like John. And that's the second point today. And that is this. My Creator is Jesus, and I'm made to represent him. Made to. When Jesus made the world, he made us in his image, and he put us here to have dominion over the earth, he did it so that we could represent him and his goodness on this planet. On this planet. And then when Jesus redeems us, he comes into our life and he transforms us. He restores us to even better than before to represent him once again. That's why we were put here. We were not put here for any other reason. That's it. To glorify the Lord and enjoy him forever. And so we're made to represent him. You were made to represent him. And so many times I go out in this world representing myself, my goals, my desires, my wishes. You may be doing the same. Sometimes those are even church things. Like, you know, I can make it look holy. I can make it sound right. But they're still Tony things. I think Scripture calls that selfish ambition. At one point, this John the Baptist, so there's a John the Baptist, the baptizer, that's the one we're talking about who's a witness. Then there's also John, Jesus' friend who wrote the book. He's also a witness. Two different Johns that we're talking about. But at one point, John the Baptizer says this, "I must become less, he must become more." That's what we're talking about. Are we moving in that? Are we going all in to him? Do we even want to? Or do we want to kind of live with one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord? Even if that's, I don't even think that's possible. Because in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, hey, you've left your first love. In another place, he says, hey, you're lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. And he wants us to be all in with him. He says, return to your first love. So this is not to condemn us, but it's to call us to a place of repentance and revival, of going all in this. I want to see our lives changed in this fellowship called Ballardsville. I want to see disenfranchised church people that are all over our county revived again and shown the true, not just the church version, but the true version of Jesus. The light that came into the world. The non-judgmental, the loving, caring people of God that Jesus has called us to be. That group of people. And I want the lost people to see that too. I want them to experience that. Verse number 9 in John chapter 1 says this. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Verse number 10. Get it up here? If not, I can read it. It says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So he's talking about Jesus. In verse 11, moving on, he says, and he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. His own people did not receive him. He's talking about, I believe, not just the Jews, but also everyone who's created in his image. That's verse 11. Can we go to 11? And now 12. He came to those that were his own, but his own did not receive him. And then this in verse 12, yet, it's very important. Can we get that on the screen? The next verse. Yet to all of those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Notice there is a receiving along with the believing. Their believing encompasses receiving. The believing encompasses repentance. The believing encompasses all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you want to separate and add that in there. But have we truly received the way of Jesus? Have we truly received the way of Him? Not just the thing with our intellect that we believed what He did. We've given intellectual assent to it. We've agreed, yeah, intellectually. But also in our heart, have we believed in our heart? And that might have been many of us. I believed in my heart before I even believed in my head. Most people maybe believe in their head or we get stuck in the head. But in my lifestyle, have I lived in my lifestyle? And I have to say, there's many areas of my lifestyle where I still haven't believed God. Not received His way, the Jesus way into my life. And because I've not received the Jesus way into my life, I still live in worldliness. And I'm still not all in these areas. Verse 13, he says, children of God who were children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. We call that being born again, and that's the third point. My Creator is Jesus, and I can be born again. That's it. Born again. Born again implies a new life. Completely new life. Sometimes we say, you know, if I could go back and do it over, I would change some things. Is anybody like that? And then the super self-righteous people go, nope, I wouldn't change a thing. I love it all just the way it is. No, there's got to be something you would change, right? Born again changes everything. It's a new life. This is actually what baptism symbolizes. The death to the old self and the born againness to Christ. To live in newness of life. That's what baptism symbolizes. It's this. We're born now of God. I'm not born of Vicky and Tony Singer. I'm born of God. Am I His child? Are you His child? And if I am, then, you know, when my kids leave the house, I say, remember who you are and whose you are. That's what the Lord says to us. Remember who you are and whose you are. You can walk in victory. You can withstand temptation. You have forgiveness of guilt and shame. You have a whole new life. In Christ, you are righteous. In Christ, you can represent Him. Back to John 1:14. We've already read it once before, but once more. It says, "The Word became flesh, and He made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Father, who came, one of the only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse number 16 says, out of this fullness, we go to verse 16. Out of this fullness, thank you, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For, John 17, next verse, says, because of this, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth comes through Him. I know we're having some technical difficulties. There we go. That's why it's important to have the Scriptures out so you can follow along with me. Grace and truth comes to Him. A lot of people in our world, when they think about God and they think about Christians and church people, they don't think much about grace and truth. They think about condemnation and hypocrisy. Is that not true? Right? But that's not what Christ has called us to. It's grace and truth that comes through Him, and He lavishes that on us so that then we can live in that grace and truth and pass that on to other people. That's what it means to be that witness. Moses gave the law. And a lot of times, New Testament Christians are telling everybody they need to follow the law. Well, guess what? They can follow the law all they want and still not experience Jesus. They can be good moral people and not experience Jesus. I know people are actually better morally than me. They don't know Jesus. That's shame on me. But I'm even forgiven of that shame because of His grace and truth, and able, even in my weakness, to go and try to represent Christ and share that grace and truth with others. And verse number 18 says that no one has ever seen God, but the only Son, who is Himself God and in closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known. Listen to this. People in our world have all kinds of crazy views about God and who He is and what He's done and what He expects and how He treats people. And all kinds of atrocities throughout history have been done in the name of God. We can all agree to that, right? If you can't study history. And that isn't because there's a bad God. It's because that people have perverted what He said, or they've truly not gone all in. They've acted all in, but they've had selfish ambition, and they've used their positions and those things that they say they believe about God, but they use it to get power for themselves. But Jesus reveals the true character of the Father, and that's the fourth point. He's in the closest relationship with Him. My Creator is Jesus. He reveals the Father. And so as we let Jesus' light shine in and through us, He will reveal what the true character of the Father is like. He has, in His life, revealed what the true character of the Father was like. And it was a loving character. There was times when He was stern, especially with religious people who were perverting. Perverting God's Word and perverting His fellowship and His worship. He was stern with them. But for the most part, Jesus was... And they needed to be stern with. He was doing that for their good, to help them, to teach them, to call them to repentance. But Jesus' love, His grace, His truth, that reveals the character of God. And now... that is given to you through the Holy Spirit of God to live through you, to shine in you and through you, to transform you into little representatives of Jesus. In my case, a big 12-pound heavier representative of Jesus. To share that love and grace and truth with others. But sometimes, you know, my emotions get the best of me and it's not grace and truth. Or sometimes my ambition gets the best of me, or sometimes my thought process gets the best, and it's not grace or truth. And so when we talk about going all in, that's what we're talking about. And so that's the question today is this, is that what does going all in with Jesus look like for you today? And that can change, over the next few weeks that may change, but today, right now, like what's that in your mind? What's that in your head? That thing. And I don't want you to write that down on the piece of paper. What I want you to do is think about that. There's an area in my life right now I know God's convicted me on, having preached this message and listened to it with you, that there's an area where I need to go all in my life. And I want to do that. Do you? Do you? So I want you to take that card. It has these questions on it. You can mark. Am I ready to go all in? And so with that thing that the Lord has placed upon your heart today, you say, I'm ready to go all in. Or you may still say, well, I have some questions about it. Maybe there's some area in your life where you've kind of had a hang up and it's been hard. And sometimes we need each other to help work through things. Maybe you have some questions about what going all in looks like with a particular thing that to the Lord, the Holy Spirit has brought to you, your heart and mind today. You check that. Or you say, no, I'm already all in 100%. I'm there. I'm all in. I'm ready to go all in. I'm already all in. You check that one. So today, here's what you're going to do with that. I'm getting ready to pray for all of us. And just when you leave, you can leave that in your seat. You can turn it over so that we can't see you and no one can see your answer. You just leave it in your seat when you leave. I'll collect them. I'll be praying. If you want to talk, I'll talk. If you're already all in, I'll contact you. And we'll do this together. And I want you to remember this. Jesus went all in for me so I can go all in with Him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, today as we stand before You and we ask You to just that area, Lord, that maybe it's an area we want to hang on to because we like. Maybe it's an area that we're turning to in our life, Lord, rather than turning to You. We're relying upon something else rather than relying upon You and Your grace and Your mercy and Your truth. And Lord, and we still believe that we know what's best for us better than You know what's best for us. Lord, whether we're in school or whether we're senior adults, Lord, all of us, speak in all of us now. And call us, dear Lord, to let go of those things, those ambitions, those desires, that worldly, those things that stand between us and You. Lord, maybe it's a husband that's thinking about leaving his wife, or a wife that's thinking about leaving her husband. Maybe it's teenagers, dear Lord, that are living a secret life of sin behind their parents' back, behind your back. But Lord, You see everything. Maybe it's desire, dear Lord, for some of us that while we want to worship You and want to experience You, we still want, dear Lord, to find our happiness in things of the world. Whatever that is, Lord, we give that to You right now. I pray that You would transform us, change our trajectory through the power of Your Holy Spirit and our surrender, our total surrender to go all in for You. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.